I don't know if when you or I don't know if you guys are like me, but when we sing some of these songs, there are times when the words just kind of like hit you like a 2x4 upside the head. And it's just like understanding really how much God loves us. You know, that's hard to fathom. Sometimes we just get so focused on life. You know, it's like, oh, I got to get up. I got to check my bank account. Do I have enough money to pay bills? Do I got to go to work? You know, all these things or whatever. But is the first thought that when you wake up, man, I am so thankful that God loves me. Yeah, not everybody in the world loves me, but oh, who's laughing out there? But I'm just so thankful that God loves me. So if you join me in prayer, Lord God, Jesus, I am so thankful that you love all of us, that you love me, that you love the world, the entire world. All the people that have been created in your image, God, that you have loved us so much, you obeyed your Father in heaven and chose to come to earth as a man and die in our place for our sins so that we could be with you forever. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us today to sit and soak in that. Lord, as well as the message that Ashley has prepared today, Lord, I pray that it would seep into the deepest cracks in our lives to help us to heal and be more like you, God. Help us to take the word today and not just, you know, like a parched ground that just runs water off because it's so dry and dead. Help us to be able to absorb your word today. May we be blessed by Ashley and the message today. These things we pray. Amen.
Go ahead and put the slides up there. I'm gonna wait till we're recording. Yeah. Okay. All right. There we go. Yeah. Don't hit share. No, just go ahead and make that full screen. We'll be there. We'll get there. There we go. That's it. All right. So, are you tired? Are you tired? Are you tired of Satan beating you up and taking your lunch money? Are you tired of getting tossed around? Are you tired of being lied to? Are you tired of being not enough? Are you tired of falling apart? Are you tired of dysfunction? Are you tired of just simply a lack of love in this world? Well, I've got just the thing, and we're going to get there at the end. But before we do, we got some other things to talk about. Our theme this year is equip. Now may the God of peace equip you with everything good that you may do his will. So the question then is, what am I missing? If God is going to equip me with everything good to do his will, that means I don't have everything I need. We're a rather mature body of believers here. You telling me after all these years I got something yet to learn about the Lord? Yeah, I think that's implied when we say equip. That means there's something I don't have that I need. So if you'll notice on the slide here, we're a few tools short. There's a blank in Scripture there, some place in the Word that God wants me to explore that I've not spend enough time in yet, right? A few donuts short of a dozen. So I am incomplete. I am incomplete. That's not a real word because what's missing? The letter L is missing. I am incomplete. This is part one of a two-part series on what am I missing? Have you ever wondered, been perplexed? Something's happening here, and I'm just completely missing it, right? What am I missing? I'm incomplete. God equip me. That's where we're going today. So here are our questions. You have an insert in your bulletin. Everything's pretty well noted there for you, and an exercise we're going to do it on the backside at the very end. So our question is, number one, what am I missing? Once I figure that out, how do I get it? And then, What's stopping me from getting that? And finally, is it worth it? Can I just keep on like I'm doing? Won't that be enough? So these are the questions. What am I missing? How do I get it? What's stopping me? And is it worth it? So let's take a look at the word equip in the Greek. It's katartizo is the Greek word for equip. And it means a lot of different things, and it's used in a lot of different verses that we can't tell in the English it's the same word. But if you notice the ruler up here on our slides for this whole series, there's been a ruler there. You might be wondering, what in the world does a ruler have to do with being equipped? Well, it's this notion of being complete. We measure up so far, and then Christ fills up the rest of the measure to make us complete. So katartizo can mean mend, repair, fit out, equip, put in order, arrange, adjust, prepare, train, strengthen, perfect, complete, or make one what one ought to be. Lots packed into that word equip. So we're going to take a quick skip through a few verses where this is used in different contexts outside of what we've been used to reading so far. Jesus said, hey, out of the mouth of, you've heard this, it's a quote from the Old Testament, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise. That word prepare is the same word as equip. Jesus, when he found James and John, they were mending their nets. That word mend is the word for equip. Think about this. These guys are fishermen. They're professionals. This is their professional equipment for their job, right? And Graham, you work on cars all day. You keep your tools, you know, maintain them, right? Those are expensive tools, right? Yeah, so these nets were expensive. Those weren't cheap. And if there were holes in those nets, they're losing money, right? And they're getting strained. They're getting caught. They need to keep their nets. Those nets were expensive. They were maintaining their equipment. And how does God view us? Does God view us as expensive? He paid the price for us. He wants to mend us because we are valuable to him in his service. So mend is one of my favorite uses of equip. And here, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. There's that word. When you hear perfect in scripture, we've got this twisted notion like I've got to be all that. But it means to be perfected, be completed. What I bring to the table, Jesus fills up the rest to be completed. Supply what is lacking is another way of saying it. Fully trained, like his teacher. Unified in the same mind is actually here in 1 Corinthians 1, the word made complete, that our minds are made complete together. And then often this is used in the context of restoring a brother who's caught in sin. A brother or sister, to restore them. Also, 1 Peter 5:10, great verse. God himself will restore us. So if we look at how equip is used in Scripture, it's prepared for a purpose, completing what is incomplete, repairing that expensive, essential equipment, restoring something you had at one time, but it was lost, reproving and restoring a transgressor, a brother who's caught in sin. And one of the things you'll notice as we go along today is that these verses are often in the context of the body of believers, in the community, one another, together. You'll see, especially when Paul is talking about being complete and equipped, he's talking about the body of Christ as a whole. So if we were to kind of do the amplified on our theme verse. Now may the God of peace equip, train, repair, restore, prepare, perfect, complete you with everything good that you may do his will. It takes a lot more meaning then when we look at this, all the things involved with God equipping us. So what am I missing? Now this is, what am I missing? As we're going through this, don't be looking around saying, I know what they're missing. All right? It's not what you're missing. It's what I am missing. Okay? This is self-examination today What am I missing that God wants to give me? So missing how? You know, there's different ways things can be missing. Number one, I just never had it. I had it, but I lost it. I have it, but it's broken. I have it, it needs an adjustment. I have it, but it's not enough yet. Oh, wait, I got this and I shouldn't have it. Do you see some of those categories in your life? Like, I carry a tune in a bucket I've never been able to sing, right? Some people might say. Something you just never had and you're probably never going to get it unless there's a miracle, right? But that's, there are times in our lives when God brings to us what we need, right? So I've lost it, I broke it, needs adjusted, it's not enough, and oh wait, where did I get this? I don't need it. I know I should not be caught with this. So, number one, as we're thinking about what am I missing, we want to hear what God tells us is missing in our lives, not what Satan tells us is missing in our lives. In Genesis 3, 4 and 5, Satan was talking to Eve in the garden. He said, look, you're missing some stuff. You know, your eyes could be open a lot wider. You could be like God. You could know good and evil. He's holding out. You're missing some stuff. And then she's gazing at this fruit and she's thinking, ooh, this could give me insight. It could make me wise. So when we're talking about what am I missing, just remember Satan is the accuser. He's going to tell you all kinds of things you're missing. We don't want to listen to his voice. We want to listen to God's voice, because Satan was telling Eve, hey, look, you're missing knowledge, power, authority, your own autonomy, this wisdom. Really what they weren't missing was they weren't missing trust. They had trust, but they broke it. And that's the whole strategy of Satan, is to break trust between us and God. So they had something they actually lost in that moment. So what does God say that we might be lacking? There's a whole series of verses that talk about what you might be lacking. If anyone lacks wisdom, okay, we might need some extra wisdom. If you're not lacking in any gift, he says in 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 7. He's talking about grace and speech and being enriched in knowledge and testimony. Talk about different examples, things that we could be lacking perhaps. But he wants us to not be lacking in any gift. Lacking in your service. He's talking about Epaphroditus here. He risked his life to complete what was lacking in your service. Maybe faith, love, and holiness here in 1 Thessalonians 3:10 through 13. He says, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. And then he goes on to talk about love. We've got some love, but he wants it to be increasing and abounding. Maybe we got some, we could use some more, right? Or holiness. I don't know that any of us have ever got completely sanctified and all made up just like Jesus, just quite yet. We're going to read another verse about that later. But we want to be blameless and growing in holiness as well. And then this famous passage in James chapter 2. What good is it, brothers, if someone says he's got faith, but he doesn't have works? Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. You could be missing works that accompany your faith. Lots of things we could be missing. And then Brother Phil recently started turning our attention to 2 Peter 1, and he has this whole list of virtues. And right in the middle of that says, if you could be ineffective or unfruitful, we might be missing some fruit. Says, whoever lacks these qualities. So he's talking about all this list of faith and virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, love. All these things, if we're missing any of those things, we could be unfruitful. Now, James 1:4 has a Mac Daddy promise right here. There is a way that you can be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. What? Lacking in nothing. Well, some of you know what the rest of that passage, how that reads. We're going to get there. I'm talking about what we could be missing, but there is a place, there's a way we could be lacking in nothing. How do I get that? We're going to get there. So what does our theme verse say that we might be lacking? He says that God wants to equip us with everything good. That just covers so much. God just wants to give us a bunch of good stuff so we can be equipped, repaired, and prepared for whatever it is that he has in store for us that would be pleasing in his sight. So, this is a very impartial list. You know, we didn't even get to Galatians chapter 5, things you might not want to have, the works of the flesh, things you probably want to have, the fruit of the Spirit. There's a lot of things that could go on this list, but here's a short list, right? Trust, wisdom, grace, knowledge, a gift maybe, a service or works. My faith may be lacking, love and affection, holiness, virtue, knowledge, self-control, all these good things that God wants to equip us with in his service. So as we go today, I want you to think about, Lord, what of these do I need some work in? What do I need to level up? I don't know that we have very many video gamers in here. You level up your character in these different areas, right, when you're playing online. So you're leveling up these areas. You think about all these areas of virtue and gifting. What do we want to level up? What does God want to work on in us? So the next question then becomes, how do I get it? If I'm missing this, how do I get it? We're going to revisit some of those same verses. If any of you lacks wisdom, what are you supposed to do? Just ask. Ask God. He gives generously. And we just read where Eve's looking at this fruit in the garden, and she's thinking, I could get wise if I eat this. All she had to do was ask the Lord. He was right there. All she had to do was ask, God, I need this. Would you give it to me, please? I want to be pleasing to you. All we got to do is just ask. Scripture. Oh, this is a great one. I want to say Jack read this in his last sermon. All 2 Timothy 3, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. There's that every good thing again. Every good. Scripture is God has covered. We're going to dive into scripture and look at some places and things that we maybe haven't read lately. Or maybe we've never read that thing that God wants to show us and begin to equip us and make us complete. We had a whole theme one year on what it means to be in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 says that, you know, this grace of God was given to you in Christ Jesus. And he's talking about enriched in speech and knowledge and testimony, not lacking in any gift because of our Lord Jesus Christ will sustain us. God's faithful. So the big obvious Sunday school answer here is, how do I get it? Jesus. He's already given it to us. He's already provided for it. He's provisioned it. We just have to ask. And that's where it comes from. So often, Paul, writing to these churches, talks about all the people, all the players, all the people that were participating in the ministry, people in the local church, people making rounds between the churches. And here in Philippians 2, he says, I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker, fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service. Now, does that mean that these people just had their arms crossed and said, I'm not doing that? Maybe they just didn't have the means or the gifting that they needed in that body to provide that service that was needed. And so Epaphras was bringing what God had gifted him with to help round it out. And that's the beauty of the body of Christ. Not every one of us is going to have everything. And when we come together, we find that we are able to meet all the needs because of the way God has distributed gifts in the body. And again, 1 Thessalonians 3, more of this one another. Talk about praying for one another. He wanted to be face to face to supply what was lacking in their faith. May the Lord make you increase and abound for one another and for all. He may establish our hearts blameless in holiness. So he says to abound for one another, abound in love for one another. Sometimes God completes what's lacking in me by what he's put in you. And what he's put in you completes what's lacking in me. Did I say that wrong? You get the idea, right? We complete each other. Also, James, what's the response then to faith that's not working is to make it work. Jack just recently talked about being doers of the word and not hearers only, right? And he uses this example in James of somebody who's lacking in food and clothing, and you got to give them that. You don't just go by and give them a high five and say good luck with that. You say, you don't just say go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things they need. What good is that? So faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So sometimes just taking action. And we think about, for example, Luke 10, when Jesus sends out the disciples. You know, he said he gave them power as they went. And so when we go and step out sometimes, what's the old saying? God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called, right? Once we begin to take that step of action, God will begin to meet us in that and give us what we need. Now, remember this promise that you could be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That trail's got like the black diamond on it. If you think about hiking trails and difficulty levels, there's the black diamond. Maybe that's a skiing thing. I've never been skiing in my life. But it's like whatever is the biggest, most dangerous path, right? This one says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So trials get us there. We've all had a few of those. But what's the key ingredient here is the steadfastness, the endurance, the perseverance, right? If you get halfway through the test and blow a tire, and you have to go back and start at the beginning, you didn't get what God wanted to give you in that trial, in that test, right? So steadfastness here is like this secret multiplier that you can apply to the Christian life. If I stick it out, if I don't give up, if I persevere, if I endure through this trial that is not pleasant, if I endure through that, especially in the darkest hours, then I can get the prize at the end that God is, what he's equipping, what he wants to build in me, what he wants to fix in me, what he wants to prepare me for. I can do that if I persevere with steadfastness through those trials. So, we've been abbreviating this theme verse this year, but there's all this juicy goodness packed in around this word equip. So how does God equip us? Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant. He's made a covenant to provide everything we need here that will equip us with everything good that we may do his will. And God is working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So there's all this layers, the God of peace, the blood of the covenant, working in us through Jesus Christ. God will do the work in us if we will open our hands and say, God, I need you to equip me in this. Fix me, complete me, show me what I'm missing. Now, at the very end, we all get a pass. Philippians 1:6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ. We will be completed, fully, finally equipped at the day of Christ. We've all sang that line. And when before the throne I stand in incomplete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall then repeat. When I stand before the throne in him complete, there is that promise that one day all the striving will be over and we will be made complete in his sight, literally. So how do I get what I'm missing? I need to remember that Christ has probably already appropriated this for me in the blood of the eternal covenant. I believe God is faithful. I look to that covenant, knowing that God is working in me. I can pour myself into the Word of God. I can ask, God, help me to see, help me to understand, show me what I'm missing, teach me. Matthew 11:28, when he says, take my yoke upon me and learn from me. God, teach me, right? Maybe it's action. Go, give, serve. And in that going, he teaches us. It's completed through our community and one another. I don't know, did anybody bring a whole meal today? It's just a great example. I'm just thinking that this is a picnic day. Nobody brought the whole meal, but you throw all that together, and we got the full package with some amazing desserts to go with it too, right? So as a community, we complete this together. So we remember one another, we pray for one another, and those trials are a special path that will get us to a place where potentially in that thing that God is teaching us, it's possible to get leveled up all the way. So if I wonder, okay, what am I missing? And God shows me. And then he's got all these different ways he can work in my life to help me grow in that area. What's stopping me from getting there? Well, he talks about being pleasing in his sight. Equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Is there something in me that's not pleasing in his sight? If I examine myself, I'm thinking, maybe there's something I got that I shouldn't have. What is in me that's not pleasing in his sight? And in this passage that Phil read to us a few weeks ago, 2 Peter 1:9, for whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sin. Sometimes we're lacking because we've been deceived, we've forgotten, we're off track, we're tangled up in our sin, and our face is looking down at this sin that we're entangled in when we're supposed to lay aside those things that so easily entangle us and look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We have to remember that we have been cleansed. So what's stopping me? Is it sin? Is it fear? I've said before, Satan works in fear like an artist works in paint. That's his favorite medium, to make us afraid of anything and everything. Disobedience. Are we believing Satan's lies? Are we forgetting God? Are we relying on ourselves? You know, that's part of that message that was woven in that Satan was teasing Eve with, is that God's not going to take care of you. You got to fix this yourself. So what's stopping me? And finally, is it worth it? That black diamond trail, oh, that's a steep trail. I'm going to have to take a lot of rest breaks on that trail of trials. Is it worth it, though? Well, at the end of this, and again, coming back to that theme verse, he says we'll be pleasing in his sight. He'll be pleased with us. You know, when somebody else, you know, Jesus talked about when your brother has something against you, you're not pleasing in your brother's sight. And there's just that angst in your spirit, like, I know I'm just not right with that person, right? But when that's resolved, it's like, ah, yeah, this feels good. I'm pleasing not only to my brothers and sisters, but I'm pleasing to the Lord. And through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. In John 17, Jesus praying to the Father says, Lord, I just want them to see the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Jesus wants us to share in that glory when we're made complete in him. Is it worth it? James kind of wraps up that trial and testing part with the very first word that we sometimes might read all over too fast. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet these trials of various kinds. And just like Greg said this morning, I can say the same. In the last few years, there's been a lot of counting it all joy. Our home group's been reading this passage. And one of the texts that went back and forth with our home group was, a lot of counting joy this week. Right? You've got to keep that perspective, counting it joy, because in the end, he's going to make us complete, lacking in nothing. So yes, it is worth it. So are you tired of Satan beating you up and taking your lunch money? Are you tired of getting tossed around? Are you tired of being lied to and not being enough and falling apart in the dysfunction and no love? Where did I come up with this list? It actually comes straight out of Ephesians chapter 4, because it says it is worth it. And this is the famous passage where it talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and these gifts. But it says it's to do what? To equip. And then he explains this is what the body of Christ looks like when fully equipped. Equip the saints for the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. That sounds pretty complete. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and craftiness and deceitful schemes, getting beat up, taking our lunch money. Get rid of that mess. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So that dysfunction, that getting tossed around, that absence of love in our relationships, all these things are called out here as the result of what it looks like for the body to be fully equipped. That sounds pretty good. So, as we wrap things up here, now may the God of peace equip, train, repair, restore, prepare, perfect, complete you with everything good that you may do His will. So now what? A couple thoughts as we wrap up here. Incomplete. I am incomplete, but there's hope. All right? So number one, equip implies that I am incomplete. What do you mean I don't have everything I need? Well, yeah, that's what it says. Equip says there's something I am lacking. And that hits me in the insecurities. That hits me in my pride. And I'm tempted to make up for it in the flesh. When I'm facing this challenge, I'm facing this struggle, facing this positive thing that I feel like God wants me to do even. If I'm looking to my own flesh for the strength to get that done, I'm tempted to make up for it in the flesh. But here's the thing. God knows I'm incomplete. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And all I have to do is invite God to do that work in me. Now, this is all written down on the handout as well. So here's what I want you to flip your handout to the backside there. And make some time on your counter, put a note on your phone, a reminder to take this out this evening, tomorrow, during your quiet time, and just prayerfully ask the Lord, what am I missing, Lord? And how do you want me to get it? Show me what is stopping me from being fully pleasing in your sight. And you can write in other things there as well. Again, this is not a comprehensive list, but review these scriptures. The first step really is to humble myself, recognizing that I am incomplete before the Lord and ask God to show me. Look, and here's something that you might give you some clues. Look around, reflect on how God has been working in your life in the last few months. Connecting the dots, you know, often how God, it's a song on the radio, it's something you saw in your email, it's a YouTube video, a Facebook post. That seems to be like a lot of the ways we spend our time these days, but God can surface things to us. Hey, look at this. And then you see it in three places in the same day, and you're like, oh, that's the Lord, right? From three different places, right? So look around, but think about conversations you've had here, even with our brothers and sisters in your home group. Look for the ways God has already been signaling you, hey, this is an area I want you to work on. And then own it. Write it down. Journal it. Tell other people about it. Hey, I feel like God is showing me this is something I need to work on. And then begin to practice it. Next week, we're going to talk about God's gym. The word gym is literally there. We're going to get there where we go to sweat it out. And one more rep, we're going to get there next week. And that's where that endurance comes in. But don't compensate in the flesh. Oh my goodness, that's why I've got it down there on the slide three times. Don't compensate in the flesh. Don't compensate in the flesh. It's the oldest trick of Satan in the book. We just read about it with Eve. He's telling you you're missing something, and you got to take matters in your own hands. That's not how we do it. We lean into the Lord in these ways to prepare. So, part two. Part two is going to get very real. So, as we walk through Scripture here today, you think, okay, this is a nice, cute, buttoned-up sermon with bullets and verses, and it all just makes sense, right? Next week, I'm going to unpack this personally. Next week, I'm going to talk about what God has shown me that I am missing. 1 Peter 5:3 says that the elders are to be an example to the flock. I am going to confess to you next week what God has shown me that I'm missing, the impact that has had on our body here, and what is New Song missing. I'm going to talk about some of the hard things we've been through this last year as a church. I'm also going to talk about that joy on the other side, the joy through it that Greg talked about, and the joy on the other side. I'm going to look at some vision for where we are as a church as well, and what God has for us there. So next week, we're going to put some very real context to the equipping, the mending, the preparing. Let's pray. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. Jeff.
Actually, thank you very much for that. It's so much going through my head right now. You ever have that moment? It's like, oh, wow, that means this and this and this, and my brain's just kind of doing that right now. I don't know about you. But I'm a little concerned about coming back with the word gym for next week. a little concerned about that. Okay, if you join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, this life, it's not meant to be easy. This life is meant to take effort, take work, Lord. And I'm thankful that, God, that the message today really spoke to me about one particular thing that gives me peace, Lord. And I'm just so grateful for that. Lord, I pray that we would all take a piece of this message today that really should resonate with us and help us to be prepared for doing the hard work. Lord, things don't just happen on their own. You want us to put in the effort. Lord, I pray you'd help us with that this week. Help us this week also to just be looking for those God moments where you are there. And we notice it. And we know that you are speaking directly to us and what we should be doing today. Heavenly Father, we pray for these things. We ask this in your precious and holy name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's stand for our benediction. I thought this would be a great benediction as well, as we've just read it several times. Now, may the God of peace equip, train, repair, restore, prepare, perfect, complete you with everything good, that you may do his will. You're dismissed.